John chapter 17, verses 17 through 21. Our subject this morning is set apart, or if you want to use the word, sanctified. John 17, verses 17 through 21. This is the Lord Jesus Christ praying to the Father, and He says to the Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Just a brief focus on the word sanctify, the first word of the first verse of our text. Sanctify means to separate from profane things and to dedicate to God. It has other meanings that are real similar or just variations on that theme. It means to consecrate things to God. It means to dedicate people to God. It means to purify. It means to cleanse externally. It means to purify by expiation or take something out or cleanse something out of. It means to free from the guilt of sin. It means to purify internally by renewing of the soul. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't have to tell any of you that are saved that the people of God are a purchased possession of the Lord. And the Bible teaches that very often. We are a people whom God has special plans for. As soon as we embrace that truth and understand it for what it is, that's how soon we begin to be productive in the work of God. If we don't get hold of that truth, we are relatively unproductive. God's people are set apart to the Lord for the purpose of glorifying God the Father and God the Son. They are set apart unto God for the purpose of being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to accomplish this great work of glorifying God and of shaping God's people into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has established a specific way to do this. And in this setting apart of His people that He does, and what He's intended in this, is that His people be identified as being something quite separate from the rest of the world. I think that today there are a lot of people who claim Christ as Savior who have forgotten that. In the profane world that we live in, the profane culture that we live in, there's this inclination, this tendency for people to imagine that they can be saved. This is especially true of people who profess to be Baptists. That people can be saved, but it's not really that important how much they look different, act different, be different from the rest of the world. But it is everything to do with demonstrating that we are in fact set apart unto God. This thing of looking different, being different, acting different from the world is everything concerning that message. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says in His prayer, sanctify them through Thy truth. I want you to hang on to that thought because it is in fact everything about sanctification. Now this that He prays about is the only process of setting apart of believers that He has approved of. Sanctify them through Thy truth. So let's look at the beginning of sanctification, then at the effects of sanctification on us, and let's look at the ways that His sanctification influences and changes our lives. Follow me on this, if you will. The first thing that I want to ask you is, where does our being set apart first begin? Where does sanctification start? Now, usually when somebody's asked that question, or they think about that question, they start thinking about, well, you know, the day the Lord showed me the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave me the new birth, He saved me, and I confessed Him as my Lord. And the day that that happened, that's when I was set apart unto God. That's usually the way we think of it. But listen to Jesus, listen to the Word of God in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Over there, Jesus is making a testimony about Himself, and the writer of Hebrews says something about that testimony that Jesus is giving in that chapter, because in that chapter, Jesus is saying, you wouldn't have, Lord God, you wouldn't have anything to do with offerings and burnt offerings for the full cleansing of sin. And so I came to do Your will, O God, to become a sacrifice that would expiate sins, cleanse out sins. And as He says that from the Old Testament Scripture, the writer of Hebrews says this about this act of Jesus. By the which will, what will? The will of God in sending His Son, the will of Christ in coming to be that full sacrifice, by the which will we are sanctified by us believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. No. By the which will we are sanctified through, listen to this, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. There, brothers and sisters, is an end to personal sanctification coming about as a result of people being right, doing right, believing in Jesus, and keeping on believing in Jesus. That's what comes after. All of that comes after, but it has nothing to do with fundamental sanctification or being set apart to God. This verse tells us that fundamentally we were set apart unto God by the body, the offering of the body of Jesus once for every one of us. There's where setting apart unto God took place. And so, we are made what we are before God, not by our believing. That comes as a result of how we're made different before God. We're made different before God, accepted of God, set apart unto God through a sanctifying work of Jesus Christ in offering His body once for every one of us. So the starting place and the power to get sanctification done for God's people lies in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that's true, because I would have never found sanctification if Jesus hadn't accomplished it for me. I'm set apart by the power of the Holy Spirit, but I'm only there because Jesus did it once for all in the offering of His body. Wonderful, wonderful work of Jesus. Jesus says in John 14:6, well quoted, often quoted verse, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's how He does it. He brings us to the Father through sanctification by the offering of His own body once for every one of us. Now, in our text, Jesus speaks of setting Himself apart so that we also likewise might be set apart. In our 19th verse of our text, and for their sakes I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. He was talking about what I just quoted you from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. He was talking about there in that prayer in our text, He was talking about setting Himself apart for the special task of sacrificing Himself to set us apart unto God. I want to tell you, today we're set apart as special folks to God because of what King Jesus has done for us. That's the bottom line. Now, how does this setting apart show itself in each believer then? I say we're set apart unto God by the sanctifying power of Jesus offering His body for us. How does it begin in each believer? Well, first of all, the Word comes to us with power. You'll remember in Romans 1:16 that the gospel of Christ is said to be the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's the key. The power of the Word of God, the power of the gospel, is brought to us. It comes to us in power, and in that process, we are converted to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing the message of God. And by that, that's the first time that our sanctification becomes a reality in our lives. Now, I'm not saying that that's where sanctification originates, because it doesn't. The sanctification occurred when Jesus gave His body. But the reality of it becomes meaningful to us in the day that the gospel comes to us with power. Then we know we belong to God. And we're set apart to God. That's the beginning of the trip, the beginning of the travel. And so we as God's people realize that we are set apart unto God. Now, the second thing that happens is when that Word of God comes to us in power, as I've already been suggesting, that we then have it revealed to us. When it's revealed to us, we respond to it with believing. And when we respond to it believing, that comes to pass, which the writer speaks of in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, when he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what happened. That's the active force working in us to make us know that we're special, set aside unto God by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another fact about this sanctification. The work of sanctification comes from a twofold direction, not as though it comes from God and somewhere else, but God operates at two points in this sanctification that we experience and that we feel and sense and experience in our lives. And the Spirit, first of all, sets us apart in the new birth. That's the first thing that happens. When the Holy Spirit sets us apart in the new birth, He empowers us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He empowers us to believe the truth of God. The writer puts it well in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. He says this, "But we are bound to give thanks." I believe I quoted this last week or maybe the week before in our study session. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So the Spirit comes in, does something in there. What does He do? Creates a new creature. And then, as soon as He creates a new creature, that's the start of that sanctification process in real time. And when that happens, we believe the truth because the new creature is able to. He's able to do something the old man never was able to do. Believe the truth of God. We really do believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We really do believe that He was buried and that He rose again from the grave the third day according to the Scriptures. And in believing that, we are saved by the work of the Spirit. And we are set apart in real time. That is, we realize the setting apart that has happened to us by the power of God. Now, sanctification then, from that point, grows or expands in our lives, and we learn from the Word of God And as that word influences our lives, we are influenced in the way we think and in the way we behave. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul was writing those Thessalonian brethren, and he said something there in that verse that really kind of caps what I'm talking about. The fact that once we're saved by the grace of God, that setting apart to God grows, expands in our lives. And as it grows and expands, we grow spiritually. And we begin to get hold of the Word. And the Word begins to have influence in our life. Listen to him in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us, listen, how ye ought to walk and to please God. In other words, he says, now, I know how you received us and received the Lord through us. Now, I'm begging you to walk just like that receiving happened. Walk in the same pattern that the receiving occurred. And so he says, I want you to please God. So, he goes on to say, you would abound more and more. You would abound more and more. That's like us saying. And so, when you walk, as you receive the Lord Jesus, you'll grow. Things will expand in your life and soul about God and about your being set apart to Him. The expansion will increase your knowledge, your understanding, and your spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the suggestion here by Brother Paul is that they received instruction about how to walk, and Paul expected them to grow even more in that right walking. That's what we expect to do in the Lord. That's the impact or the effect of sanctification. That's the effect of knowing that sanctification through the experience of salvation or the new birth conversion to the Lord. Now, how does this being set apart unto the Lord occur? How does this sanctification occur? Well, we could go on and on and on about this point, but I want to focus on about five ways that knowing and believing the truth sets us apart to God. If you'll follow me on this, I believe you'll understand how the Word of God operates upon us to expand our consecration to God, to expand our realization of that consecration, to expand our realization that we really are set apart unto God and that we're a peculiar people in the way that God intended for us to be. The first thing that knowledge of the Word that I'm going to look at that the knowledge of the Word does for us is that it teaches us that we are dead to sin. I mentioned this last week in Romans 6:11. The apostle writes this about this very idea of how the Word expanding in us, growing us, causes us to realize that we're dead to sin. He says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourselves. Well, I reckon you ought to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's the first thing the Word shows us when we realize who we are. The Word will teach us that, wait, I'm not here on earth to dabble in sin anymore. I'm not here on earth to enjoy the physical pleasures of sin. I'm here for something greater. I'm here for something larger. I'm here for something more meaningful. And that something is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Consecrate myself even as I am set apart. That is what the Bible teaches us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, Peter says it this way, who his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you are healed. That is to say, Jesus Christ bore our sin in His own body on the tree in order that we could take our place in this earth, in this life, in this time. We could take our place as those that are dead to sins and able to live unto righteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to add a postscript on this. I've never met a perfect man. Not perfect in who he is as a flesh and blood person on earth. I know that every one of us possess a perfect spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. That creature that is the new creature in us sinneth not. But we as human beings living here in human flesh are not perfect people. And so this is not talking about the fact that we're going to move on and move on in our growth and sanctification until we're totally sinless. Isn't talking about that. It's talking about the attitude. It's talking about God's own decree about it also. We are set apart unto God for the purpose of growing us like Jesus, for the purpose of drawing us away from that which the old human flesh desires after, and drawing us toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a work in progress. And so, we are dead to sins well enough, and we have an unction from God to live unto righteousness. Now, the second thing that it teaches us is it teaches us that we are to deny ungodliness. That is, not consent to it. Every one of us sins. But if you're saved here this morning, that's the only thing I know about you. You don't want to sin. And you don't consent to it. Even when you consent to it with the carnal mind, your spiritual person is rejecting it. That's the way we're made. That's sanctification unto God. And so the Word of God, learning it, growing in it, teaches us that we are to deny ungodliness. You'll find that in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So it teaches us we are to deny ungodliness. And you wouldn't get to that if it wasn't for the sanctifying power of the Word of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. If you neglect your Bible reading, there's going to be some blank spots in your understanding of what you're supposed to be doing as an upright person before the Lord. But if you study your Bible and pray about it, God will guide you to larger and larger understandings of how you are to deny ungodliness. Third thing that it teaches, that this thing of understanding the Word of God, believing the truth of God, and studying to know the truth of God teaches us is that we are to live by faith. We're to live by faith. This is a big one, although we don't very often make a big deal out of it. It is a big one, brothers and sisters, because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 and 38, the just shall live by faith. And we walk by faith and not by sight, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians. What does this mean? It means we, following God's own set-apart power, power of setting us apart, we look for how we might trust the Lord more and more. One of our big failures is this uncertainty, this doubt. Big things happen and we get all bowled over by it. Things come along in our lives that provide and present some real big challenges, and all of a sudden we're totally overtaken by it. We have this happen more often than we like to admit. And this is the part of our life that God calls us by faith and understanding of the Word of truth to be set apart in the faith in God regardless of what comes or goes. That's part of what God sets us apart to live by faith. Now the fourth thing that the Word of Truth and the sanctifying power of God enables is that it teaches us that we are to watch and confidently wait for Jesus' coming, for His return. We want to be always on our toes about Christ's return. We don't want to be asleep like those half of those virgins that the bridegroom came in the middle of the night and they didn't have any oil in their lamps. We want to be aware and focused on the fact that Christ is coming again. And we want to be aware of that every day when we get up. We want to think about it every day when we get up. Because He's coming as certainly as He said so. And the Bible teaches us that when we're set apart unto God and we grow in the knowledge of the Word of Truth that sets us apart, we grow in a more realistic understanding of the imminence of His return. We are aware that He's coming. And we ought to be conscious of it every hour of the day. That, in itself, helps us to do what we call personal consecration. If we think about it day in and day out, and try to think about it moment by moment, it helps us to, by moment, consecrate ourselves to this set-apart condition that God has put us in. And the fifth thing that this teaches us, at least the fifth that we're going to look at, not going to look at any others, but it teaches us that we are to love in a godlike way. Love in a godlike way. Now, we looked at that this morning in Mark, and that's what I want to look at briefly again. We're to love in a godlike love. Now, as you remember, if you were in Sunday school this morning, Jesus had a conversation with a scribe, and in that conversation, we really get a great inside look at this thing the Word teaches about loving as God loves. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, we read this concerning what He said in His teaching and what the scribe said. This is what the scribe said in response to Jesus. He said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." That's a pretty big order, isn't it? And do we do that? And every one of us says, no. Do you try? And every one of us is probably saying, yeah, I try, but I fail daily. But notice how large God is, where God's leading, this large place that He's leading us into. And He says, the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So Jesus tells him what the great commandments are. And this is a summary of what godlike love is all about. Now, the godlike love, I want to remind us, goes in two directions. It goes toward God in the one hand, and it goes toward our neighbor on the other hand. This is Jesus' own statements about godlike love. And this is where the consecration or the sanctification by the Lord leads us to. In our knowledge of the Word of God, we're led step by step to realize that the ultimate aspiration of us as sanctified people of God is to study how to love the Lord God with everything that's in us and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, there's a lesson that's taught by Jesus that's companion to this very same lesson, and it's found in John 15 in verses 12 and 17, when He said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." I'm not adding to that love, I'm just expanding His meaning of that love. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, we all have brothers and sisters that we don't get along with maybe as well as some others. We have brothers and sisters that have things that sometimes gets on our last nerve. And sometimes the preacher gets on your last nerve. So these things come up. What do we do about that in the light of Jesus' own commandment? We love one another anyway. See, God looks at us and sees every flaw. I mean, if we saw us like God sees us in the human creature that we are, as we are right now, there wouldn't be any way we could say, yeah, that's my son, that's my daughter. Aren't they beautiful? Listen, if God looked at us without the overspreading, sanctifying power of the sacrificial lamb, He would see something He couldn't put up with. Because we are not beautiful as we are in Adam, as we are in this body of flesh that we carry about. And so, we know that God sees a whole lot more about how awful we are than we can see in one another. And yet He loves us anyway. With God love. With the love of a sovereign, omnipotent, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God, He loves us anyway. And what Jesus says is, that's the way I want you to love one another. See what a great challenge that is to God's people. But it is part of that which God does for us as He enlarges or expands our understanding of the Word of Truth and thereby causes us to realize the size of our sanctification more and more and grow in the direction of that great size of that sanctification. Now let me just say this in closing, brothers and sisters. God only does wonders among His people when they are set apart mentally and spiritually to Him. We're set apart unto God through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order for Him to be willing and ready to work things in our midst, we have to be set apart up here in our brains. We have to be set apart in our hearts. We have to say, I'm consecrating myself to God. I'm going to look today how I can do that better. I'm going to think today how I can do that better. You know, in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, Joshua told the people, the Israelites there, he said, consecrate yourselves today or sanctify yourselves today because the Lord is coming to work wonders in your midst. And that hits the target dead center in the bullseye. If we want God to work something among us as a church, we have to consecrate ourselves to Him. Even aspiring to consecrate ourselves to something close or approaching to how He has set us apart to Himself. We're set apart believers. We ought to set ourselves apart unto God mentally by faith, in our hearts by faith, and God will work great wonders by and through us individually. And as a church, may God help us to realize how wonderful and great our sanctification in the Lord Jesus Christ is.